In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A common saying, life is a journey. I suspect most of us have heard that at some point. Anybody heard that before? Life is a journey. I think we tell ourselves that because we have no idea what's going on most of the time. But life is a journey, and journeys are important. There's another phrase, I've changed it just a little bit, and to me it said, life is the sum of all of our journeys, meaning our individual ones. My life has been filled with journeys, some of them I should never have taken, and some of which have taken me places I didn't know I was going. And the glory of that is, when we continue to follow them, we can either find correction or we can find our place. We like to track our life journey, don't we? We usually start with birthdays. We track our birthdays. We track graduations, which has become much more complicated these days. Now you graduate from preschool, and you graduate from kindergarten, and you graduate from elementary school, and you graduate from middle school, and then you graduate from high school. It's no wonder people maybe wonder if they need to graduate from college. They've already done it so many times. But the fact of the matter is, we mark everything. And all along the birthdays, of course. Now, I've quit marking the birthdays so much. They're a much quieter event. I've had so many of them, I really don't feel the need to have many more, although I do like being around. But the fact of the matter is, we then start to mark other things. Marriages, life events, first jobs, learning to drive. All of these things are marked down. All of these things are remembered. All of these things are celebrated. Why? Well, it tells us where we are in life. We turn 16, we're able to drive a car, right? We turn 18, we're able to vote. We turn 21, and we're able to legally drink. Although I'm not recommending that immediately. There are other things in which that have changed along the journey, and they don't mean the same thing anymore. So when I was growing up, or getting older, so many would decide whether or not I've grown up, you can leave that to yourself. At 18, we became adults. That does not seem to be the same this day. Things have changed. But we mark our journeys. Sometimes we're two, and we're not sure where we are. But we know we're someplace where we're loved. But we mark our way. Now, there's also this other aspect of our lives as we all sit here today about journeys. We all are on a spiritual journey. Is anybody on a spiritual journey this morning? I'm not sure we are as careful to mark our spiritual journey. I mean, we know, most of us, and maybe some of us are here still today, just beginning to understand that there is such a thing as a spiritual journey. And age is really immaterial in that. It's a question of where we understand our relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? So some of us have just begun, and some of us have been doing this for decades. And there's a few things within our tradition that marks that journey. There's baptism as we enter into the body. Some people's baptism, like mine, happened when they don't remember. Some people were baptized as adults. Some may be considering baptism still. Then there's confirmation for us, and that's when we, as adults, claim our place in the church and take responsibility for our spiritual journey. Now, some of us are confirmed and some are not. Some follow this in tradition, some do not. But the reality is, we sort of stop marking at some point where we are in our spiritual journey. I think that can be a struggle, especially when we hear something from Jesus like we've heard today. Now, if you are new to the faith and you are just beginning to think, well, I think God's calling me to something, And you hear this morning from the mouth of Jesus, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. That sounds glorious so far, doesn't it? I mean, I want to come back to church next week right away. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet to be thrown, than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. The good news, brothers and sisters, there it is, laid out for you. And many of us are thinking, oh my goodness, this would have been a good time for the lectionary to jump over something within the gospel. But it's really, I think it's telling us something, it's telling us multiple things. But if we are marking our spiritual journey, we know that we have come from one place and are moving to another, amen? The goal, of course, is the kingdom of God. On our way to this kingdom of God that will be brought in when Christ returns, we have opportunities to grow and to grow into it. But if we don't think about where we are in our spiritual journey, and we just sort of wander, and maybe that's a better definition for some of us, maybe we're not so much on a spiritual journey, but we're on a spiritual wandering, I would say let's make it a journey, just like we do with our lives, and let's begin to mark where we are. And then we begin to understand better what it is Jesus is saying by understanding who he's talking to. So how many of us consider ourselves disciples of Christ? So we're working on it. And then we hear things like this, if we're just working on it, we're thinking, I'm not sure I'm very interested in being a disciple of this particular teacher, Jesus, because this sounds very harsh. In fact, as I was doing my preparation, one of the scholars I read, Craig Evans, he gave this really wonderful quote about this passage. When it comes to giving advice, Jesus offers no platitudes. His teaching smacks of grim realism that his disciples must take to heart. We live in a society that currently looks at the Christian faith from within the Christian tradition and says, we need to be careful not to scare other people out of the church. Amen? We try to be gentle with anyone who comes. We try not to give them too much to do. We want them to find their way. But you know, the one thing we tend to fall apart on is we never show them the way. And Jesus says not to be a stumbling block. We should be helping one another on the way, amen? We should see people who are struggling and say, hey, let me just share with you what Christ has done in my life. Let me walk with you. Because the ultimate goal is that when your priest or the priest of the church where your community is worshiping, usually at a later time, I know we got a lot of you up early today, thank you for coming, says, how many of you understand yourself as a disciple of Christ? We should know if we are or not. And if we're not, we should ask, why do we not know? And if you don't know, I'm going to say this to you. It's not your fault. See, the church should be being very specific. You are a disciple of Christ when you begin to follow the teachings of Christ. When you take that step and you become a follower of Christ and you hear his teachings like today, this teaching was for disciples. This was not an evangelistic tool. We don't take things like this out to the street and go, I saw that sin you did with your hand. Scripture says you should cut it off. That is not what we say to someone who does not know Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't even saying that intentionally to go out and cut your hand off, so don't hear that. If you have sinned with your hand, don't go home and cut it off. If you've sinned with your eyes, do not gouge it out. What he's trying to do is teach his disciples that it is so important how we move. And you need to begin to prioritize as a disciple, not just how you're feeling, but how you are living. So as disciples, don't be a stumbling block to anyone else. This is what he says to his disciples this day and to us today. If someone is struggling, don't make it more difficult. Don't skip the truth, but help them recognize where they are on their journey, help them mark that, and point to the different place in which God may be taking them, and say, as you grow in your faith, as you make this journey, as you come to understand who Jesus Christ is in your life, then you will begin to receive his teachings in a way that is going to change who you are. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those who have been with him, those who have seen all of the miracles, and they now need to begin to understand that something more is coming. Jesus, previous to this, has told them in this gospel that he is going to be crucified. They did not like the message, but they need to come to know that when we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ and his disciples, there is a chance that as we move through this world in that way, the world is going to look at us just like the world looked at Jesus. And I think we all know how that ended. We must be ready, as Craig Evans says, disciples must take this to heart. Everything we say, everything we do should be focused. And when we have things in our lives that are not of God, we should be willing to give up everything to get in alignment with his will for us. That's where the transformation comes. If we hold so tight to the things of this world, even our own sinfulness, and most especially our own sinfulness, or the things in this world that lead us away from God, that we aren't willing to give them up, our journey is stalled. Jesus is saying to his disciples, be so committed to the transformation of your life that is being offered to you, that even if you cannot stop your hand from sinning, you'd be better off without it. If you cannot stop your feet from leading you to sin, you would do better without your foot. If you cannot stop looking at the things that tempt you to sin, you would do better without your eye. What are you willing to let go of in order to get focused on what Jesus Christ is saying to you? He is saying to his disciples, it is going to cost you to follow me. And I know in our society today, especially here in this country, more and more people are finding their way into churches that are telling them how wonderful it is going to be, how glorious God is, and then they come, as you should, because it is all those things. But brothers and sisters, when you become a disciple of Christ, it comes with responsibility, a responsibility to others, to guide them in the direction that God has brought you, a responsibility to yourself and your way in which you move through life to let the things of this world be taken from you, to be cut away if necessary, so that you can be more Christ-like in your witness to him as you walk in the world. Jesus' teachings do sound harsh today, don't they? And as said, a grim realism to them. But I don't want to leave you without the warm, fuzzy feeling that we should have when we come to church. You are not left to do this on your own. You will all be salted with fire. The Holy Spirit will indwell you, the very power and strength of God, will guide you and lead you in the direction in which God intends for you to go. What we need to know as disciples is there is incredible beauty in surrendering to this journey that God is leading us on. And if you can't think of the last time you were able to mark a moment in your spiritual journey, if it happened so long ago and you've just been sort of walking in place, there's probably something to surrender. And when you do, you will discover you're moving again. And then you will see more markers along the way in your growth, in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The other thing to always keep in mind, if we choose not to surrender to what Christ is offering, there is a cost. The life abundant that is promised to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ comes when we trust Him to lead us, even and most especially in the places where we are holding so tightly that when we hold them, we can barely see Him. The church needs disciples. Be one and train one. Amen.